In the midst of all the violence that we've experienced in our country this past week, I was reading CNN while I was eating breakfast this morning. And the headline on CNN was simply, "Who can heal us?" It was a question. And as a priest, I think I have a pretty convincing answer. You know, politicians are all on the news now saying that we should learn to treat each other with dignity. And that's certainly true. That's really what it comes down to. You know, the Declaration of Independence says that all men are created equal. And it further says that this concept of equality, that we all have this inherent dignity, is self-evident. But how is it self-evident? It's only self-evident if you have a Christian presupposition, a Christian worldview, because that dignity, that equality, comes out of our being created as sons and daughters of God in His image and likeness. For the founders, this presupposition was true of the whole country. It was a Christian country. And so they could rightly say that it is self-evident. And that treating others with dignity was certainly done imperfectly, as we're a fallen people. It took 80 years after this document, over 80 years, to end slavery. And even then, to enshrine in our laws that equality among people of a different race. But it was Christians who used the gospel message to push for equality, to push for abolition and equal rights. I don't think it's any accident that the person that we most associate with the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, was the Reverend Martin Luther King. And we still have these inequalities in our world. And they increase to the extent to which we fall away from Christ. Because if we have truly just a utilitarian or materialistic view of the world, then there really isn't that same equality. We don't have the same dignity. I always like to use the example of children who are born with disabilities. Am I equal and equal in dignity to somebody with severe disabilities? Well, of course I am. But why? Because if we look at it just from a utilitarian or a materialistic standpoint, that's not the case. Because somebody who is completely able-bodied is able to contribute more economically, usually, to the country, able to engage more in society. And so from a humanistic standpoint, there is no equality. Now, humanists and atheists will pay lip service to the fact that there is equality, that they believe that even without recourse to a Christian worldview. And yet the proof is there. Now that we can do prenatal testing, between 75 and 80% of children who are detected to have major abnormalities or disabilities are aborted, never even have the chance for life. That's the result of seeing them in a utilitarian way, seeing how much it will cost us emotionally or financially. We have this idea that we can have equality in morals without Christ, and our society has time and again proven that it's impossible. Equality that transcends race or ethnicity, social status, wealth, abilities or disabilities is only found in one person, and that's Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel today is all about. The robbers come and they strip the man who's on his way to Jericho from his dignity. They take his clothing, everything that he has. He's left for dead. He has nothing left. It's clear there's no way he can contribute to his own survival. Anybody who stops and helps him is going to have to give. They're not going to receive anything from a materialistic, atheistic, humanistic standpoint. And we have to always hold ourselves up, even as we call ourselves Christians, to that standard and ask ourselves how well we're doing. Because if you look at the people that leave him alone, it's the priest and the Levite. And Levites were a kind of priestly caste the tribe that did the priestly duties. So you basically have the people that are most supposed to see the fact that this person is a child of God in need, and those are the same people that are leaving him behind. It's a Samaritan who was sort of seen as the lowest of the low in those societies because they had a different place of worship. He's the one who stops. And Christ singles him out as the example that he's looking for. The example that's worthy, as the Pharisee said, of salvation. He's the Christian. Not necessarily the ones who are born into the right profession or the right family. That's the gospel message. So my advice, as people all wonder what to do in the midst of all of this discord, is to first and foremost build your own relationship with the Lord. Mother Teresa was once asked, if you could change anything about the church, what would it be? And she said, I would change you and me. In other words, it has to start with ourselves. And it would be the same for the world. If you can change anything about the world, it should be ourselves. That's what we have the most control over. Then, pray daily for our nation's faith, for a return to our Christian roots that are enshrined in our documents but increasingly neglected. And when this problem that we're facing comes up at work or at school or in the home even, to share the real solution in Jesus Christ. Because the word gospel means good news. And it is the news that Christ is the one who can heal us. But that's not something you'll ever hear on CNN.